Thank you for joining us once again at the Positive Herpes Podcast, where we spread positivity, knowledge, and passions like herpes, preferably by word of mouth. I'm your host, Nate Cubs, and today we're talking about something that everyone should be concerned about, DNA.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Man, try saying that three times fast. Now, that was the voice of my good friend Lee.
Hello.
Douglas.
Indeed.
And before we get too far into that, I just want to give her a little shout out. Give her a little background.
Oh, so, some love.
Lee and I met, what, maybe a year?
Mm-hmm.
Just over a year ago at the most?
Yeah.
And it was some good times. We met at this house, our buddy Travis's house. He lived, what, like 4 minutes from the beach?
Yeah,
As far as I remember, we were walking to the beach like every day.
Yeah, definitely.
And, I mean, anyone
the
who...
The amount of times I almost fainted during our knowing of each other was pretty impressive.
You were on some different shit back then.
Yeah, it was another level for sure.
Oh my god. Yeah, man. Anyway, from day one, I knew that like Lee was probably definitely one of the raddest chicks I've ever met. Sorry if that sounds sexist, but
yeah, man.
But on top
I'm a
of
feminist,
definitely like as far as being one of the raddest chicks I've ever met, altogether one of the raddest human beings I've ever met.
There we go.
Always a conversation to be had. Always something to talk about, and always just looking to ride that good time vibe.
Yeah, likewise.
One thing, like I said, we're going to be talking about some DNA, but before we get into that, just, would you mind giving us a little background on you? Like, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, not at all. I grew up in Oakland, the former murder capital of the United States until it was turned into Techieland and, you know, trendy art spot now, which is not a bad thing. I guess DNA is important to me, not only because I'm a undergraduate student of molecular, cellular, and developmental biology, but also because my particular story of coming to be here on this earth is kind of interesting. My father was unknown to me until age 18 because he was a sperm donor. My mom was 40 years old and decided that she wanted to have progeny. So she got her little vial of swimming sperm and tried a bunch of times. And turns out that I was able to come into being because some little gay librarian just jerked off at the right moment and his sperm was the right temperature. And bam, my mom was pregnant, and it was just all beautiful from then on.
You're like the second test tube baby I've met.
Wow, it's totally a Bay Area thing, for sure.
Totally Bay Area thing, and might I say, two of the raddest people I've ever met.
Totally.
However, the first guy, I haven't talked to him since high school.
Damn it.
Cool dude, though. Anyway, so you grew up in Oakland with your mother?
I did. I actually started out, so I'm a student at UC Santa Cruz. I started out as an art major. Painting was my thing. So was Freud and psychoanalysis. And then I was kind of pointed in the scientific direction by a few people that were close to me in the sense that, you know, instead of looking in, perhaps it behooves one to look without and see what's going on in the natural world. And it's pretty interesting.
I mean, from my perspective, I think it takes both. Like, there's definitely some introspection,
definitely.
But you also need to, like, correlate that to what's going on in the outside world. Like, otherwise, you're just this recluse.
Yeah, yeah. Your imagination can only take you so far.
I feel it. So, okay, in Oakland, so you went there through, what grades did you go? Were you in high school?
I lived in the same house from the day I was born to the day I left for college.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. So, elementary, middle, high school in Oakland.
Yep.
And then, did you go to... For those who don't listen, there's two major high school, or I'm sorry, colleges in Santa Cruz. There's Cabrillo, the community college, mm-hmm. and then there's UCSC,
I'm a banana slug.
Banana slugs?
Yeah, yeah. Member of the UC system.
Nice.
Yes.
And you're still currently there.
Correct.
I know that sometimes scheduling is hard as when we're trying to hang out because you're always like, oh, I got class tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bummer.
For sure.
That physics, though.
That physics. So, I know that when I first met you, you were a biology major.
Yeah.
What are you studying currently?
Well, right now I am moving into the molecular side of things. So instead of focusing on macrobiology, which is more ecological systems and how our world works on a large scale, I'm looking inside the cell and seeing what's going on and whatnot.
Word. Word. So, like, you walk in, you Miss Frizzle the magic school bus, and you just shrink down and just go see what's up.
Yeah, for sure. I've learned a lot of cool things about what you can do with DNA, and the future holds for me the research of the origin of life with Bruce Damer and Dave Diemer, who are both affiliated with UCSC through bioengineering. So hopefully I'll be able to do some cool shit with them in the future.
Cool, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, you came to me, and or I came to you. I don't really know which one it is. But the conversation basically went, it was a mutual agreement that we wanted you on the podcast. But I didn't know, I mean, in my mind, I had a few different things that I could possibly talk to you about. Because, like I said, one of the few people I can just talk to you forever.
Yeah, for sure.
So I know at some point I asked you, what should this podcast be about? And I think you took maybe a day, and then the next day you were like, you know what? We're going to be talking about
deoxyribonucleic acid,
thanks.
Man.
DNA for
it's all there
layman's terms.
That fractal geometry, though.
Oh, man. So that's cool. A whole other level that I will never stop talking about.
Yeah, man.
I that's another thing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure people are tired of me talking about sacred geometry.
You know, it's pretty sacred, though. It's important.
All right. Well, I'm just going to spitball some things.
Do it.
You told me you want to talk about some DNA, so I kind of brushed up on my high school
biology.
And
impress me.
Yeah, I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to spitball some things here. So DNA, it's the carrier of genetic code.
Absolutely.
For all living things.
Indeed. Rocks don't have it.
Rocks
Sorry,
do not
guys.
Have DNA.
Sorry. Your rock is not your best friend. It's dead.
So pet rocks, we can't extract DNA from them.
I mean, that is a complete figment of the human imagination and a testament to how lonely we are as people. But, you know, no crime against that. We're all lonely. I've cuddled with a rock or two in my time, but
does that go for crystals? Because I mean, if you
look, dat bismuth, though.
I mean, for those of you who aren't in my house at this moment, I do have this impressive crystal altar right behind my good buddy Lee. Crystals,
it's pretty sweet, man.
Crystals, no DNA.
No.
Okay.
No. Though meteorites.
Really?
Yeah, that's where we think it came from.
So
panspermia theory.
Do the meteorites themselves have DNA, or are they just like the buses that DNA ride along?
They're the bus. They contain the precursors to the organic molecules that could have come together given enough energy and crazy shit on the primordial Earth.
Okay. So, yeah, like a bus or even the BART system,
so
to speak?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The short bus to planet Earth. Because let's face it, the original DNA molecule was a bit retarded. I mean, it's like, oh, what? Am I going to replicate now? Oh, whoops. No. I just died. I was just eaten by another molecule. Whoops. Yeah. It was a hard life in a time of heavy bombardment.
Nice. Anyway, I'll get back to a random thought I just had. But anyway, DNA also mostly held in the nucleus?
In eukaryotic cells. So all your multicellular organisms, plants, humans, animals, but in your bacteria, you don't have a nucleus. You just have a, a loop of genetic material, which is, you know, why they can do the crazy shit that they do, because they just play around with their genome like they're drunk at a party.
Speaking of drunk. So, also, there are traces of DNA in the mitochondria.
Mm-hmm. All from your mother, baby.
Okay. All right. And I'm pretty sure I don't need reassurance on this part. There's four major parts of DNA. There's the adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine.
Well, we go by enes, because you know.
Oh, ene. Yeah. Adenine, guanine, yeah, cytosine, and thymine.
Oh, now you're talking dirty.
Oh, ooh. Mm. All right. So that's...
That's the word right there. Okay. Yeah.
And then this is one thing that, like, I was kind of like, okay, we have four different types or like building blocks of DNA, but they only pair the adenine to the thymine, and the guanine only pairs with the cytosine.
Yes.
I feel like the
ATGC.
AT and GC, right.
And that's just hydrogen bonding.
Okay.
Because they're the molecules themselves are nitrogenous bases, and just the way they fit with one another. Just like, you know, you can try really hard with some chick that is kind of hot, but you're just like, oh, you're really stupid. I can't deal with that. Well, you know, adenine would take it, and, you know, thymine's pretty simple, but the...
I know.
They got that triple hydrogen bonding action. It's like, that's soulmates right there.
So adenine can never pair with a guanine.
No. It's just not meant to be. It's in the stars. Sorry, guys.
I just feel like DNA is such a complex thing.
Absolutely.
That like...
It's a metaphor for everything.
But I mean, like, I feel like it's so complex, but there's only two different possible ways that four... elements can combine.
Absolutely. Everything can be reduced to four different letters and two different combinations of letters.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they also pair with sugars or phosphates?
Yeah, that's the backbone. The phosphate sugar backbone is what basically keeps the nitrogenous bases in place. It's the stability of the structure.
Okay. And this is the part that I really like to play with, as far as on a philosophy scale, not so much I'm a scientist and I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Oh, the philosophy scale is all that it's about.
Philosophy, because I like to just think about every possible situation. So the nucleotides form strands.
Yes.
And those strands form double helixes.
Indeed.
Okay. Now, I say it like that because I have kind of like an alluded pretext that I'm working towards, but we'll get into it later.
Oh, dear. Might I just say that...
You might.
The backbone, which is the sugar phosphate group to DNA, is negatively charged. Can I point out the philosophical implications of that?
Please.
That the backbone to our... the fiber of our existence, of every living being, is negatively charged. It repels. It repels negativity. Because like repels like. Opposites attract, right?
So basically, on a cellular level, each living organism just wants to ride that positive vibe.
Yeah, because our guard is negative. Our guard is this tough, bony exterior. Like, get the fuck away from me. But really, we just want to attract positivity so that we can unfold and, you know, let our word unfold into the universe.
Rad.
Mm-hmm.
I love the universe, as I think I've mentioned twice already.
It's pretty cool shit.
Now, tell me about this transfer of food energy into cell energy by the means of oxidative phosphorylation.
Oxidative phosphorylation. Well, basically, you're breaking down glucose to produce energy in the cell to build proteins so that life can beget life. But, You know, as far as DNA is concerned, DNA is important because it codes for proteins. And proteins are what make up everything you see. The DNA is just the book.
Everything you
it's
see.
Just
so
the
I'm,
recipe.
So this picture by Salvador Dali right here. It's
protein.
Made up. It's made up of protein.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Dead plant protein. I mean, it's dead and gone, but it's remnant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It, man. I mean.
That's cellulose, though.
That's cellulose.
Cool shit. Horrible for digestion, though.
So another thing I kind of like found in my research. I just wanted to sound knowledgeable talking to you, to be honest. I had no idea what any of this stuff was.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I did not pay attention to
biology.
Well,
you know, most science teachers in public school don't know shit and don't care about shit.
They're just like regurgitating like the books that they learned.
They're like, what can I do? Like I've heard of friends having science teachers and teachers of all kinds that are just like, oh, well, I'll give you the solutions to the SAT because they want their paycheck. And it's just like... If we had people that were devoted to people learning things, then a lot more shit would get done in this country.
Oh, government-run education.
Oh, subsidies.
But one thing I kind of ran across was that, correct me if I am wrong, mitochondria DNA holds 37 genes, and 13 of which... Those 13 contain the instructions for enzymes involved in the oxidative phosphorylation.
Yeah, because that... Okay, so DNA is... every cell in a living body contains the complete instructions for how to create a being. The reason why you have different mitochondrial cells... mitochondria are elements within a cell. But the reason why you have different cell types, like brain cell, a neuron versus a liver cell, is because you have the same genome, but that those genes are differentially expressed. So each cell is producing different proteins to create different morphologies. Morphology just refers to the shape, right?
The shape of the cell?
The shape of the, not the shape of the cell, but the shape dictates the cell function.
Okay.
So mitochondria have DNA that are relevant to mitochondrial function, just like a liver cell has are the genes that are expressed in a liver cell are the genes that are necessary for liver function. But every cell contains all of the notes, all of the instructions, but they're differentially expressed because of the location of different enhancers and different proteins that go in and unfold the DNA and know, in quotations, what...
Yeah, she was doing air quotes for those of you who can't tell. Yeah. Air quotes.
Yeah. For dramatic effect.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If I slice a piece of skin off my finger,
yes,
the information in the cells off of that bloody piece of skin literally contain enough information in those cells to recreate my whole body?
Correct.
But the reason they're finger cells is because of like the way the nutrients are distributed to my finger.
Yes. I mean, so that's kind of where the stem cell debate comes from. So you have the core juicy, what is it? The grail, the holy grail of genetic expression is the omnipotent stem cell, which is a cell that contains the genome without... These limitations that condense and constrict the DNA molecule so that only certain portions of the genome can be expressed. So a skin cell is a skin cell because through development it's been decided through the process of maternal regulation genes, that it's going to be a skin cell and nothing else. So,
okay. So it's got the
it's got all the information, but the information for everything is on lockdown because it's been decided that it's only a skin cell because of where it's been located. Where you are determines who you are.
Let me make an analogy.
Yes.
A car, your car, my car, mm-hmm. could drive 180 miles an hour. However, there's a governor in the engine which limits how fast it can actually drive. So yeah. kind of like there are limitators in the cell
yes.
which prohibit it from creating
anything.
Kidney out of your finger.
Yeah.
Basically.
Because think about how harmful that would be. Because
exposed organs, right.
Most cancers are associated with uncontrolled cell growth.
Okay.
Of you know, whatever type of cell, right?
Correct.
So you need to have a regulatory system of where certain phenotypes are being expressed. Phenotype is, again, referring to morphology. I don't want a kidney on my finger. That wouldn't work. Evolution would not select for that. Exactly. Who would have sex with me if I had a kidney on my finger? Nobody.
That just
and it's all about getting laid.
That just it. Well, yeah, it is all about getting laid.
That sexual selection, though.
That just brought to mind. If anyone's ever seen South Park, the nurse who has a fetus growing out of the side of her head.
Yeah, super awkward. Super awkward.
Oh man.
Yeah, I would not eat her out. If I had any choice in the matter. I mean, not that eating her out would actually create progeny. By progeny, I mean children. Because, you know, I don't have a penis. But I try. Sometimes.
One last thing as far as my research is concerned. And then I'll just let you...
ramble.
Spit some knowledge and fill in every single blank that I left out.
Mm.
Now, there's a debate going on in the scientific community, and I've seen arguments for both sides of this debate. And the debate is really about the foundation of life. There's a huge debate whether or not RNA are parts of living organisms. And maybe you can just explain what RNA is, and then give me your standpoint, because to be honest, I think this is one of those topics where there is probably a right answer, but people are just going to debate it anyway.
Yeah, there are a lot of aspects of science where people are committed to their ideas because they've spent 30 years of their life researching it and they don't want it all to turn to crap. That ego dough acts absolutely. So the thing about RNA is that RNA is extremely important. And RNA and DNA are structurally analogous. They are almost exactly the same, except DNA has a thymine instead of a uracil that RNA has. The thing about RNA, though, is that RNA is unstable. RNA does not have the same packing structure, the same ability for 2 meters... of DNA to be folded and refolded and refolded with proteins inside a single cell to form a teeny tiny nucleus that you can't even see with the naked eye.
You say 2 meters, and when we were talking earlier, I literally was picturing a parking meter. You're talking about 2 meters.
No,
like,
I'm talking about 6 feet.
6 feet
each
worth
cell of
DNA. Of
the human body has 6 feet of DNA. How does it fit in the little cell? Well, there are these proteins, these histone proteins that pack it and pack it and pack it. And, you know, you can look into 30 nanometer fibers, blah, 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 condensed chromosomes, blah, blah, blah. Basically, we have a shit ton of information that's packed into a teeny tiny bit of space.
Like the genie from Aladdin.
Exactly. Totally. Yes. The lamp is the nucleus.
Okay.
The lamp is the nucleus. But as far as RNA as being the origin of life, RNA is incredibly important. RNA is the transcript, the intermediate between DNA and proteins. Proteins, which, you know, being everything we see. But the problem with RNA is that it can't stand the test of time. It degrades incredibly quickly. It can't last for years and years and years and regenerate through cycles of.
Do you know, is there a half-life on DNA and RNA? Like, I don't know if I'm using the right terms. Like, how long would an RNA strand last compared to a DNA strand?
I mean, an RNA strand degrades, assuming that it makes it to the ribosome, which is, okay, so here's how this works. DNA is unfolded by an enzyme that then allows the synthesis of an RNA transcript. This RNA transcript is then sent outside of the nucleus of the cell into the cytoplasm, which is basically, so say you have the metropolis that is the nucleus. The cytoplasm is the suburbs. It's the countryside.
It's where the Livermore of the Bay Area.
Yeah, totally. It's where all the bumpkins live. No one cares, whatever. But the cool thing is that the bumpkins make what's just like how the bumpkins grow the plants and animals that we all eat. The cytoplasm produces the proteins because ribosomes are in the cytoplasm. So ribosomes take this mRNA, this mature RNA transcript, and they make protein molecules, amino acid molecules out of the, they read the book.
Okay.
And they, you know, they produce this sermon that ends up being everything that we are. But as far as RNA being the book instead of the preacher, in my opinion, as an undergraduate, which means nothing, whatever.
it means something.
It's impossible. It's impossible because RNA just can't stand the test of time.
Okay. All right. And I guess that makes sense why it's not, the reason why we're all here.
I mean, DNA is the dominant life form on this planet.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess that covers all the information that I researched. And again, like, I literally have not talked about this stuff since, like, junior, sophomore year in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no shame in saying this, everyone. I'm 27 years old. So that was, like, 10, 12 years ago at the most. Like, it's a while. I just did a quick cursory search because I didn't want to sound stupid.
Well, did you study that biology with those high school girls?
Which, like, makes it so much more difficult to concentrate.
Hey, and let's study biology.
My teacher was very attractive as well. So
PNV. Yeah. That sexual selection, it's important.
It's a real thing.
It's important.
So, yeah, like I said, I mean, that's all the things I have questions on. As far as DNA, like, I know you brought, like, high school and all your college notes and, like, seminars and lectures. Like, what else can you teach us?
I did. I think what I want to go into more so than the little factoids, because I'm not working in our lab right now. I will be in a few months, but.
Praise be to Allah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Anyways, what I want to go into is the philosophical implications of DNA being the dominant life form.
Let's climb a mountain. Let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fact that DNA connects every living being on this planet is profound. You don't need to take mushrooms or acid or PCP. I don't know if PCP
feel like Superman.
Yeah, I don't think PCP connects you to anything. Whatever. But you don't need to take anything to realize that, wow, I am sitting next to a wonderful dog and a beautiful tree and a blade of grass and another human being. And I am more similar to them than I am different. That we have more in common than there is a difference between us.
And I think that's like something that this whole entire world needs to just fucking realize. Like, we are all so similar. You see this guy, like, even Bloods and Crips, like, to put it on some extreme polar opposite scale, like, to be honest, they're a lot alike. They got thrown in a gang
exactly the same.
For protection because their family unit wasn't stable, and their gang became their family, and they're literally just looking out for each other. And the whole rival, I mean, I'm just going with this analogy, the whole rival gang thing is mainly just like a misconception of people who got in an argument years ago. Like, it's really just protection and a sense of family that they're not getting in their home life.
A lot of
things are more similar, like you said, than they are different.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the different religions fighting about what God looks like, who God's representative on earth is, when everyone just craves love and acceptance and community and a guiding principle that keeps them from getting fucked up every day and exploiting other people.
Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, they all preach of one true God. And even religions that have multiple gods mainly do have...
There's still a life force.
There's still a life force, and that life force, you can talk to them in some deep conversation, that life force would still be considered the highest God.
It's the unifying principle, which is what physicists were, you know, jacking off into infinity over... You know, they want the equation to explain everything, right? But, you know, so do poets, so do artists, so do carpenters. Everyone wants an explanation for everything. So here's where DNA comes in.
Spit it out.
So my
knowledge nuggets.
Yeah, knowledge nuggets. My argument is that DNA is God. What?
Oh, Jesus.
What? Oh, Jesus. Well, so the Bible talks about the Word made flesh and the importance of the Word. Well, DNA is a language. It's written in four letters, A, T, C, and G. And it...
Addicts.
But it unifies everything and everybody. And... I've come to believe that DNA is God mostly because of my background in philosophy and my introduction to a Christian Jewish philosopher, Spinoza. Spinoza argued that God is everything that exists. And insofar as we are the expressions of the infinite modes of God, we are all connected. We are all connected through DNA. This simple molecule of nitrogen, a nitrogenous base, and a phosphate sugar skeleton. We are all connected. And...
That sounds like some hippie shit, but I love that you're, like, throwing in the science as well.
No, it is some hippie shit, but it's all the same. You know, I'm working with people who are grappling with the concept of the theory of life, and the most beautiful and profound part of it is that is this argument that life arose out of sacrifice. Sacrifice... In the sense that each iteration, each attempt to create life, to create complexity, to create self-replication, resulted in the millions and millions of failures and mistrials that led to that point. And, you know, when I heard that from a brilliant, brilliant mind, many brilliant minds that... the origin of life is sacrifice. Well, how is that not Jesus Christ? I'm not saying that it's Jesus Christ, our Savior, but there's something in the metaphor, in the fact that all of these sacred texts talk about a unifying principle, that they talk about love and they talk about sacrifice, and that can also be seen on a molecular level, and that happens in DNA.
Rad.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I know.
I love
Jesus. Have them laugh me out of the university at this point.
What was that?
I said have them laugh me out of the university at this point. But, you know,
I mean,
the university hates different ideas.
Some of the most genius people were laughed out of school.
All of the geniuses were laughed out of school. Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, I'm not advocating dropping out of school, especially if you've been spending a lot of money on it. Go ahead and get that degree. Any other last topics you want to touch on? Because there is one thing I kind of want to bring up, and it's going to raise so many questions.
Ooh, I'm so excited. Okay, one last thing. To narrow this topic of DNA to
at least
the
factual
scale,
the factual part
to the human scale, each human has 23 chromosomes duplicated. So you have a pair of 23 chromosomes, one from your mother, one from your father, creating, you know, 46 chromosomes inside a single cell. So this podcast is on positivity and learning good lessons to keep in one's life. And I think one thing to keep in mind is that because of this, the number of chromosomes and how chromosomes rearrange during meiosis, the combination or the division of the genome, and then the recombination during the event of sex, your mummy and daddy, your dear mummy and daddy. There is a 1 in 8 million chance that a single individual turns out to be the exact way that they are on this planet, the exact expression of who they are, which means that every single person on this planet is a miracle, is a probabilistic miracle.
So
even your retarded cousin is a probabilistic miracle.
Hey man, I love my cousins, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. And in that respect, you know, we talk about people deserving or not deserving or not deserving to be here based on what they produce in the world, but it took a lot to be here for every single person.
So when Neil deGrasse Tyson says, every day I feel blessed to be alive, it's because of this insane ratio that we're even here.
Yes, yes. Because he had a 1 in 8 million chance being himself. And that's, you know, 8 million is thrown, we throw about millions and billions like they're nothing because of the way our money system is set up. But when you think about, you know, the distance that encompasses, or some physical, tangible way of dealing with that number, it's incredible. It's incredible. 2 to the 23rd power.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Actually, before I get into this nonsense that I'm about to get into.
Nonsense!
I actually heard something this morning that I kind of, I guess, knew but didn't know. DNA can rewrite itself, and especially in cases of severe trauma. I heard something today, and again, I'm going to give a shout out to my boys, Aubrey Marcus and Joe Rogan.
Woo.
They were talking about, say you're driving down the road and you hit a deer with your car. Mm. You don't kill the deer because luckily you notice it enough time to like slow down, but you still hit it. If you watch that deer, what it's going to do is it's going to go to the side of the road, and it's actually going to like vibrate its entire body, because what that's doing is it's shaking out the trauma from the body. Mm. And one thing that us humans don't do is we kind of hold on to a lot of the trauma that we carry in our lives, and that rewrites our DNA. And I mean, when I was listening to this, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense, because that's why some people are born the way they're born.
Absolutely.
I don't want to like name any illnesses or diseases or like just cases or whatever, but I mean, some people are born in very unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah.
And as I was hearing this, I was thinking, you know, this is probably because like their parents might have had a very emotional or physical trauma that they never cleared out of their body, and their physical body just encoded it in their DNA.
So here's the deal. The genetic code itself changes in terms of mutation. The failure to faithfully replicate the genetic code during, you know, whatever process. What a lot of people are beginning to look into now, which was previously laughed out of the scientific community and untouched, is the field of epigenetics. The fact that that changes to the genome, besides the change in the actual code, which usually takes shape in the form of messing around with how genes are packed, the shape of the genome, what genes are expressed, we are beginning to find are very influenced by stress. So take the problem of white people.
White privilege, though.
Yeah, that white privilege, though. The fact that whites, historically, coming from Northern Europe, they experience extreme stress from the environment.
I'm sure just the journey over here is stressful.
Oh, that too. You experience the extreme stress of seasons, people starving to death, people dying of disease, all of that. That somehow translates to the way your DNA is packed, so that the next generation...
Like a parachute?
Yes. So it influences how the next generation is prepared for the world. If you grow and reproduce in an environment that is stressful, that is full of trauma, then it behooves you to spread on the information to your progeny that, hey, by the way, you're going to be born into a world that's going to fuck you up the ass.
You hear that, everyone? Pack your kids' parachutes correctly. Yes. Make sure they're jumping out of the plane prepared.
Yes. And loved and full of warmth and full of love for the universe, because if not, you're going to beget this cycle of violence and negativity and rapacity just because you think that's how the world works, because your genetic code tells you so.
And that's where I get back to one of my favorite song lyrics, "What we hate, we make."
Absolutely.
I mean, you have this paradigm of, oh, these people are evil, these people are good, so I can talk to these people, I can't talk to these people. And you're just reprogramming your own DNA so that when you pass on that DNA, your children have that notion.
Yeah. And, you know, Freud wasn't completely wrong in that, like, oh, it all comes from the mother. Look to the mother. Well, you know... And as far as genes are concerned, as far as DNA is concerned, the mother regulates the initial development of a being, the body access, the morphology of that creature. And if a mother is under extreme circumstances, take, for instance, elephants. Elephants
I love
them. In a zoo. I love elephants. Elephants are extremely intelligent, beautiful,
Some of the most loving and caring animals. I don't even want to call them beasts. Like, I mean, I don't want to call anything a beast, although I do it out of fun and play and jest. But some of the most amazing animals in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, at the risk of sounding anthropomorphic, because that would also get us laughed out of university.
Like the books, Animorphs?
Oh, yeah. Totally. But there's something to be said about the fact that female elephants don't... They don't cycle normally. They don't have regular menstrual cycles in captivity because the captive environment is so stressful to them that their body is telling them, no, you cannot bring another being into this world.
So it's not even a conscious level. Like their physical body is saying, this is not
their DNA.
Wow.
It's in their DNA. That I am under this extreme stress and it does not behoove my genes to bring further progeny into this world. So then think about all of the humans you know going through the struggle they're going through.
I was just going to say, I mean, that sounds like me. If anyone who knows me on a personal level knows, like, I'm not actively searching for a partner right now because I'm not in a position to bring up life in this world.
Yeah. And who wants to bring a child into this world that's going to be born into this huge disappointment of, yes, maybe there's a bounty of, well, a supposed bounty of resources to take advantage of, but it's really all just going to turn to shit because we didn't learn how to care for it correctly. And there, lo and behold, why people are the way they are. It's in their genes. It's in the epigenetics. It's what your parents passed down to you as what reality is. But gotta take control of that.
I'm gonna touch on that a little bit and actually quote Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, Bill Nye!
One of his main arguments is, why are we going to Mars to terraform Mars? We should just be terraforming our planet, the one that we live on, this planet Earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we could afford to bring resources through millions of miles, I don't know the exact number, but I'm assuming millions of miles of space.
Light years. Yeah.
To a different planet that doesn't even have an atmosphere, or a very, very weak one at that.
Yeah.
To terraform that planet, why don't we just use that money to make this planet better so that raising children here is more profitable for the human race here?
Well, people don't want to deal with failure.
I think it plays into ego because they want to be like, our Earth is perfect. What's wrong with this place? Yeah. Why make it better?
Yeah. People crave hitting it and quitting it, which is exactly what we've done to our Earth Mother. We've raped her serially, taken everything she's had to offer, and then said, fuck you, we're going to a hotter bitch. Literally.
Literally.
Because Mars is so hot that it's not yet inhabitable. Good job, humans.
Mars is a 12 on a 10-point scale.
Fuck. Well, all no right. Can compete with that.
Well, thanks for spreading the knowledge.
Anytime.
And among my travels, I've come along... touching on the hippie shit aspect, I've come across some very questionable theories, some esoteric rumors, as far as to say.
Yes.
Well,
you know, it's really all about the Freemasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and that could be a different podcast. I can just go balls deep on that one.
No! Don't do it.
But, yeah, okay, so... there's this crazy notion I've been hearing, and I do kind of support it, but I don't support the timeline of it. Again, there's no factual evidence, but we're on the topic of DNA, so I have to touch upon crystalline DNA.
Aw, shit.
If anyone's ever seen a picture of a double helix DNA strand...
beautiful.
It is beautiful, and you know, it serves its current purpose. There's nothing wrong with it present. However,
developed by hippies, I mean, not hippies. They were physicists, but they were tripping on enough acid to be able to figure out, oh, it's a double helix.
I mean, they were tripping hard enough so that the people who weren't tripping were like, wow, these guys are some fucking hippies.
Yeah.
And then they proved it and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've seen some pictures of DNA and it looks like there might actually be room for a third strand of DNA.
Oh shit.
Making it a triple helix. This would fall into the realm of crystalline DNA. And so basically I've just done a little bit of research online. Basically anyone who does a Google search can find out the same information.
Google.
Run by aliens. So basically crystalline DNA, would be gained after a crystalline grid around the Earth would be formed. And
holy shit.
That would be a combination of electromagnetic energy and nuclear fusion, which I don't know if anyone realizes this. Earth has one of the most powerful nuclear fusion generators ever conceived. It's called the Sun.
Mm.
We revolve around it. Yes. And we could probably harness that energy a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, if we just figured it out.
So this nuclear power, and also, speaking of the sun, has anyone, like, been paying attention to it? It's been getting flares. It's been acting up.
Oh,
it's been
yeah.
doing some shit that a nuclear reactor would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this nuclear power, this is going to enable our DNA to shift from third-dimension carbon-based DNA into fifth dimension. What's up?
Oh, shit. No, the dog was just dealing
so,
with
so we've got our dogs here, and we've been trying to keep them on the hush-hush this whole time. We're going to ignore them for a minute. I think they're just hungry. They can wait for a few more minutes.
Indeed.
Yeah, so this nuclear-powered DNA is going to transfer our carbon-based DNA from third-dimension carbon-based to fifth-dimension crystalline beings.
Holy shit. This is some next level.
This is definitely next level.
I need
level.
More acid for this. For sure.
This is definitely some next level shit. It takes a deep amount of mental capacity to even follow and entertain. You don't have to agree with it. I'm not expecting anyone to because it's not proven in science, which also can be flawed, but
Indeed.
It's not proven. And I just ask you to play along at this point.
That play.
Because this might not fall into the positivity or the knowledge aspect of my show, but definitely the passion. And there are people who are very passionate about this. Supposedly, this crystalline energy is going to bring humans into the more perfect blueprint. Like, we have an original blueprint as humans. And this crystalline DNA is going to bring us into that blueprint. It's almost like, say your contractor was building your house, and they left out the bathroom wall. So you have your bathroom. It's there. It's accessible. But there's no walls, so it's not really the perfect house.
So everyone is just watching you take a dump, and you're like, fuck.
I mean, kind of, because everyone's kind of seeing these spiritual things that you're doing and, like, the just things that, you know... Oh, here they come. Anyway, they see these things that, I mean, you're doing, but no one really recognizes it. So it's like you have a bathroom, and no one really knows that it can be a separate part of the house, its own thing. Anyway, this crystalline DNA is also supposedly supposed to increase our lifespan.
Oh, it's all about that immortality.
Immortality is the final end game. A few things.
Nobody wants to die, folks.
Right. I mean, what's the point of dying?
When you can just continue being.
So, some of the other things that this crystalline DNA is, it's supposed to actually make males and females both taller. Male average height should gain to be about 7 feet average.
That's pretty
while
hot.
The females would be average 6 feet 2 inches.
Mm.
Our weight is going to become a lot lighter. We're going to be more efficient body-wise.
Basically, we'll be praying mantises.
I actually do like to picture that because we'll be taller, we'll be lighter, less dense bodies. The male average weight should be about 10 to 15 pounds, while the female should be about five to 7 pounds for females.
Watch out, runway models. You're going out of business. Out of business.
Oh, man. Basically, this... crystalline DNA is just going to make us slim, trim, and tall.
I'm ready.
There are going to be, like, in the whole, like, transformation process of this, there's going to be some things that to look out for. We're going to be experiencing a lot of emotions that we normally wouldn't be experiencing, like anxiety, fear, and depression. Some other things that we might experience would be weakness of body, disorientation, forgetfulness, fatigue, some mood swings, which, I mean, I know a lot.
That's my typical day, really, especially when I'm close to my period. And I'm a typical, I have typical DNA, no crystals here, and it's, life still sucks, so I'm ready.
And who,
bring it on.
Who isn't? Some other things we might experience are some lethargy, some aches and pains in the joints.
Well, shit, yeah, if we're like 7 feet tall and
right,
five pounds.
Imagine growing an extra 2 feet on average.
Jesus.
And then also, at the same time, you're becoming a less dense body.
It's like a minute on the lips is a lifetime on the hips. It pays to be thin, beautiful.
I like that.
Take the pain.
Some other things we might be experiencing are less sleep or a change in sleep patterns. One thing I might want to say on this, I've been experiencing this, and I can't really credit the crystalline DNA, although I would like to. I would very much like to.
I think it's just you.
Yeah, it might just be me. I work like four jobs, and I lift a lot of things. So, I mean, that explains a lot.
You're ready to vaporize at every moment.
Oh,
we've discussed this extensively.
Okay, so one thing I've gotten into a discussion on with Lee is that I'm going to become a crystalline being and traverse multiple dimensions.
Indeed.
Ascend the universe in multi-fractional patterns.
All while at UPS.
Oh, man.
What would your coworkers think?
To touch on the vaporization of my body, I think what that would really just be is just if there's any credence to that statement, the vaporization would just be, I would be vibrating so fast at such a high frequency that people who are still in the third dimension carbon-based reality wouldn't be able to perceive my fifth dimensional crystalline being.
Shit.
Because I'm just vibrating so fast. And I know I didn't really elaborate the first time I brought it up, but that's my mindset.
Yeah, man. Well, that'll make finding your soulmate easier.
Right, because I mean, I wouldn't if I'm if
who
I'm
who else is going to see you in the fifth dimension
other
besides
than
your soulmate?
Other than soul dimension, like soulmate, fifth dimensional females.
Exactly.
Like that's
well,
that's it.
I mean, they don't have to be female. They can be both. They can be anything under the sun. Because when you're a crystalline being vibrating at a crazy velocity, then you know what are you going to collide with?
No, and that actually makes sense too, because also. Supposedly, like, when we're more of these enlightened, higher vibrational beings, sex actually is going to fall by the wayside. Actually, we're going to become we're going to become more asexual beings.
Yeah.
Without
asexual reproduction. You know, I really believe that heterosexuality is a mental handicap.
It could be, yeah.
It is.
I mean,
I've
lived with, like, homosexual guys before. I never felt attracted to any gay guys in my life. I can live alongside them pretty easily. It's not difficult. And I think that goes back to, like, having three sisters, older sisters, and just living with all of them and their girlfriends, whatever. But, I mean, to be honest, I think the fear of another human being interested in the same sex that they are is a very irrational fear.
You know, androgyny just increases the entropy, and entropy increases complexity, and our universe is constantly expanding, and so is our sexuality. So why worry about it? Have sex with whoever, whatever, whichever you want.
Agreed. Probably. I mean, anyone who wants to fuck anyone is not going to bother me. I know who I am. I know who I'm attracted to. And I know who I like to hang out with. And sometimes there's a gay dude I want to hang out with. Sometimes there's a lesbian chick I want to hang out with. I'm not sexually attracted to them. And maybe as a fifth dimensional being, that might be a possibility. Who knows? I'm still carbon based. I mean, I'm really not one to speak on this topic. I'm just throwing things out that are out there in the
your
universe.
Your carbon is your lower self, man.
My lower self, man. Some other things that could happen is you actually might need less food to sustain your everyday activity. And
God damn it. Where does the McDonald's go?
Hopefully to the wayside. That McDonald's, though.
Those McFlurries, though.
Those McFlurries all day.
Oh.
I love ice cream. I used to work at a Cold Stone Creamery, and we got a pint of ice cream after every shift. It didn't matter if you worked for a 3-hour shift or an 8-hour shift. You got a pint at the end of it.
Hashtag insta obesity.
Hashtag diabetes, though. One other
no
thing.
No diabetes when you're crystalline. By the way.
No, absolutely. You're vibrating way too fast for those lower vibrational diabetes.
Burning all those carbs.
Carbs. Actually, for my listeners who were tuned in last week to the Bulletproof and the Nutrition podcast, fuck those carbs.
Those carbs, though. They're carbon.
Exactly. Root words, language, lower vibrational. So one last thing, and my homies that I hang out with actually have commented this on me, which, again, I can't credit this to crystalline DNA, but it is something I work on, which is when you become a crystalline being, you actually gain a higher perception of your surroundings. A lot of people who I hang out with will notice I'll be talking to one person and fully grasp another conversation that's happening, or I'll be walking down the road and see something out of the corner of my eye and, like, react to it then. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, Lee, I know you've talked to me about this. Like,
yeah, it's some cool shit.
So, I mean, whether or not crystalline DNA is a real thing, there are some things that these transformations, air quotes, transformations that should be happening to you, you could just work on them yourself. I mean, one thing I've really been working on that I think everyone really needs to be working on is just being here and being now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the past because that's going to cause depression. Don't worry about the future. That's going to cause anxiety. Just be here. Be in the moment. Enjoy the time with the people you have, especially in the room, the people that are in the room with you.
Yeah.
As far as DNA and as far as like the esoteric standpoints on DNA, that's all I've got. I feel like we've shed quite a bit of light on some pretty knowledgeable stuff here.
Absolutely.
Before I go into my own stuff, Lee, do you want to share any of your like Facebook, or if people want to get a hold of you to like ask questions on DNA?
Or well, you know, I'm that Lee Douglas. L-E-I-G-H.
And then the typical Lee Iga.
Lee Iga.
The typical spelling of Douglas.
Yes. No two S's. I was called Dugglebutt in high school, but I digress.
So we got you on Facebook. Look for Lee Douglas.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much I have no internet life, so.
Rad.
Facebook me if you want.
I mean, to be honest, I didn't either until I started this podcast. Speaking of this podcast, you can find me at positiveherpes@gmail.com.
It's infectious.
Super infectious. Spread it by word of mouth.
Those warts.
Facebook.com/positiveherpes. You can find me at Twitter. My handle is @positiveherpes. And guess what? Instagram, if you hadn't guessed by now, it's @positiveherpes. It's all positive herpes. Just spreading that knowledge. And of course, I've got to thank my wonderful guest, Lee Douglas, for showing up, taking time out of her busy day to literally drive out of her way to come just talk with me for the last couple minutes.
It's been my pleasure.
I'd love to have you again on the show. We'll talk about something else.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give a last few couple shout outs to my buddy Lucas Ohio Patty for giving me permission to play some of his music to Gong. It's one of the things we're about here, is just promoting passions as well as knowledge and positivity, of course, but this is something he's really into, is his music. And my second shout out is to Lee Douglas for choosing this song off of the album. The song is called Ain't Good Enough for You off of Lucas Ohio's album the Slingshot Kid. Keep in mind, he's got a show coming up Saturday, June 20th at Armando's in Martinez, California. Go check it out. About me endlessly, logic defies. You get stuck with me and you complain about the clothes I wear and you explain. There's other boys out there and you complain. My car makes too much noise and you cry. Your time.